Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, once again we come before you, imploring your divine goodness and your great mercies. And we do ask, our God, that you would show your mercy toward us as a nation, heal the breaches, bind up the brokenhearted, cause the rebellious to bow before you, may your face shine upon us with pleasantness. Nevertheless, thy will be done. We pray for your hedge to be about us, that we may be blessed to live out our lives in peace. We ask that you bless us to draw nigh to thee and closer have a daily walk with thee. Pray that you will grant us repentance and that we might turn from our sins unto you. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins that is found in the blood righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And pray for those that would rule over us, and that they would rule over us justly and for good, and that the sword would be used for the evildoer in its proper and just way. Now bless us, we ask, as we continue in this worship. In Christ's name, amen. Coming back to Revelation 2, we took up this morning pretty much giving an overview of the person of Jezebel, where our Lord mentions this congregation that suffered a Jezebel to be among them, and he says to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed unto idols. Thyatira was a congregation that suffered or tolerated anything and went along with everything, which is what a lot of so-called congregations are doing today. And though they knew it was wrong, Thyatira is, they didn't have enough backbone or strength to do anything about it. As we said this morning, they were the opposite of Ephesus. And it should be noted that the ministers, as the leaders of the flock and shepherds of the flock, must stand against wickedness. The Bible talks about how it is woe to the shepherds that feed themselves and do not feed the flock. You'll find that in Ezekiel 34, verse 2. But it would do good, we won't take the time to do that this afternoon, but it would be good to go and read Ezekiel chapters 33 and 34 to see what the Lord had to say against the shepherds of Israel in their day. In essence, it was that if the shepherds saw that there was evil coming and they didn't preach against it and call on the people to repent, then the blood would be on their heads. But if they were faithful to preach the word of the Lord, regardless, at all cost, then the blood was on the head of the people. You know, Paul said when he was talking to the elders from the church at Ephesus on the island of Miletus. He said, I am free from the blood of all men. In other words, Paul had taught and preached the truth of the scriptures. And though Ephesus was strict in their judgment and could identify false teachers and things of that nature, they fell into the sin of being cold. Thyatira was rich in love, but it tolerated false prophets to their hurt and to their damage, that is, to the hurt of the congregation. This false teacher, this woman teacher, taught and seduced ministers to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Now some would say, well, this was only spiritual adultery that she caused them to commit, but it may very well have been the physical act in and of itself. It is not uncommon to hear of such sins in so-called Christian congregations today. Ministers, men and women, over and over and over again committing sins and fornications and adulteries and so on. And preachers would leave their wives and go on for no good reason and go on and marry someone else and still go on preaching. You see that all the time. There's a young man that actually was a member here at one time that thought he was called to preach, who recently just up and divorced his wife for no good reason. And as far as I'm concerned, no minister that would do that is worth his salt, and I don't believe he's a God-called minister anyway if he would do such a thing. I've really questioned that very much so. And so, but that's what you have. And I heard some statistics not long ago. I done forgot the exact statistics, but it was very, very high of not only many men in Christian congregations, so-called, profess to be a partaker of pornography, but many ministers as well. That's where we are in the day in which we live, in this effeminate society. And Thyatira would be very apropos to many congregations today. Likewise, the trade guilds we mentioned last Lord's Day had a great influence on the congregations, and possibly some of the members were some of the members of the congregation had memberships in these trade guilds. You know, the unions, the labor unions of today, oftentimes men that may be members of congregations, they would be more faithful to their trade unions than they would to the congregation of God. And they also had problems with, like Pergamos, with the Nicolaitans, which was a pagan practice as well. But anyway, it says here in verse 21, and I gave her space to repent of her fornications, and she repented not. In other words, it appears here that the Lord gave this congregation that something had happened previously in the congregation or to the congregation that warned them that they need to repent. but it was ignored. I pray that we would not fall into this trap, that it be something that we need to repent of and we're too blind to see it. You know, we always need to be careful with that. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here we're talking about, it's talking about Noah in the times of Noah. Verse 20, it says, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. In other words, it appears that the earth, many years ago, when God was told Noah that he was going to destroy the earth with water, and while Noah was building the ark, it's believed to be around 120 years it took him to build the ark. Just think about that. He worked on the ark longer than we've been alive. But all that time, Noah was preaching. He was preaching during that time. And it appears, contrary to what many people say today, it appears Noah had some converts. Now you hear preachers preaching that Noah preached and nobody would believe, and the only people that were delivered were just the eight souls on the ark. But it appears that Noah had some converts that no doubt died before the flood. Not in the flood, but before the flood. Why would we say that? Notice verse 20 again. Which sometime were disobedient. See, they weren't disobedient all the time that Noah was preaching. They were disobedient sometime. That's 1 Peter 3:20. Sometime they were disobedient. Sometime means up to a point in time. See? That makes sense? In other words, he didn't say that they were disobedient all the time, but they were disobedient sometime. Now, we don't know how many, but it appears that everyone that were destroyed in the flood were not children of God, because it was a picture of God's wrath on sin. So God gives a space for repentance often. Look in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, with regard to repentance, we need to always keep an eye out if God may have something for us that we ought to be repenting of. But in Romans chapter 2, when he speaks of the sinfulness of the Jews, in verses 3 through 8, he says, but thinkest thou this, O man, that judgeth them which do such things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patience, continuance in well-doing, seeking for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, then they're going to get indignation and wrath. You see, God doesn't destroy people just for the sake of destroying. He gives warnings and he preaches and teaches to them and tells them that if they don't repent, then they will likewise perish. Look at Matthew 23. Matthew 23. With regard to the Jerusalem. Starting verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And what happened to Jerusalem? What happened in 70 A.D.? Titus came and destroyed the city. But the city, there were about three different Jewish factions in the city while they were shut up. And those different factions in the city were fighting among themselves while Titus and the army were outside. And it got so bad that they run out of food. And as we mentioned this morning, there was one soldier that he smelt some meat cooking. And nobody was supposed to have any meat. And he went in and asked this woman, what are you doing? What are you cooking meat? She said, I'll show you. And she uncovered a half-eaten baby. It was her own baby. God, whether it be the flood, whether it be the Jews, whether it be Jerusalem, whether it be a congregation like Thyatira, God's judgment will come. He may give space to repent, but if they do not repent, they shall be carried away. And can you imagine how many people, men, women, and children were screaming outside the ark? I can assure you there was no sign tacked on Noah's ark saying God loves you. And I can assure you that people today who will not repent of their sins, they're going to meet the judgment of God. Nations shall meet God's judgment. Time and time again it says, not just Israel as a nation, but any nation, the nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. It's quite obvious this nation, whether it was ever a Christian nation or not, I'm not going to argue that point, but it's quite obvious this nation has forgotten God, and it's quite obvious that it's being turned into destruction. At least it is to me. And any congregation that will not be faithful to the Word of God, it too shall be judged by God. He said, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, we haven't gotten far enough into the book of Revelation to consider what may be called the great tribulation. But you're going to see that the tribulation that God pours out on the earth as we progress through, as the seals are being broken, as the trumpets are blown, as the vials are being poured out, and so on, you're going to see the great tribulation that is poured out on the earth by God is poured out on those who are not believers. And here he tells those in Thyatira that he, God, would cast them into great tribulation. Into great tribulation. Except they repent. Except they repent. Then he says in verse 23, I will kill her children with death. You say, you mean God may kill people and kill children? Yes. You remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where Paul admonished them with regard to partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. What happened there? Some people were weak, in a weakened condition. Some people were sick. And some people were dead. Some people were dead because they had partaken of it unjustly. Possibly give them over to their own sins. You know, Romans 1 talks about people that will not repent, and he gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know, one of the worst things that can happen to an individual is if God leaves them in their sin. It is a horrible thing to see an individual that is addicted to alcohol or drugs, destroy themselves. I had a cousin that did that. One of the last times I saw him, I was driving him back to the Veterans Hospital. And he had a bottle of Listerine under his belt. That's what he was drinking. He wasn't washing his mouth out with it. I confronted him with it. He didn't drink any Listerine while he was in my car. I confronted him with it. At first, he got mad at me and said he was going to jump out of the car, which I knew he wasn't going to do, and he didn't. Then he got to talking about how he was going to quit. And I told him, I said, you're not going to quit. The only way you'll quit is if God changes your heart. Sad, sad, sad. You see, he had quit many times. It's like a man in the community I grew up with. He was somewhat of a drunk. And in a shop where I worked at one time in a country garage, he was laughing and joking one time, talking about how it was easy. It was easy to quit drinking. He said he had quit 1,000 times. He said the hard thing was to stay quit. Of course, everybody laughed about it as if that was something funny. But it's no funny thing. When a person is turned over to a sin, it could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be a liar. You know, some people, it seems like they'd rather tell a lie than tell the truth. Could be their pride. It could be adultery, fornication, sexual sins. I believe we are seeing on the news people that have been turned over to their sins. I hope not. I pray not. You see, the only thing they can see is what they're doing, and they think what they're doing is right, and they don't know that they're destroying their own selves. 5 Tyra, some at 5 Tyra were in this condition. Sometimes God punishes with trials and afflictions. Israel was destroyed time and again by Assyria, Babylon, and other nations. Look in Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. We're talking about God's judgment and what God may or may not do. Joshua chapter 7 has to do with Achan. You remember the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan and they marched around Jericho and everything went fine. Then they went up to a little city called Ai and they thought they were going to make it. But Achan had taken some gold and a Babylonian garment in Jericho. Let's see what happened when they took Achan. Verse 24, Joshua 7:24, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. One man caused Israel's army to fail, but also cost him not only his wife, but even the wife of his, not only his life, but the life of his family. That's sad. That's sad. But it also shows the severity of God's judgment. The severity of God's judgment. And though the children would be killed, notice what it said there in Revelation 2:23. and I will kill her children with death. God warns these people. If you don't repent, if you don't straighten up, your children will be killed with death. And though the children will be killed, why were they killed? Not only because of God's judgment, but also it was that all the congregations would know that God searches the heart and the reins, and He will reward every man according to his works. Notice what it said there. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. When God judges, people are going to know it. They're going to know it. It's not going to be a maybe or I think so situation. It's going to be a no-so situation. God will punish a congregation so that other congregations may fear. God will judge an individual that other individuals may fear. May we have spiritual insight to learn from the mistakes of others and learn from the sins of others. Verse 24, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. See, there were some in the congregation that were still faithful. There were some that were still faithful. Not everyone, but there were some. And so God said, I'm for you that are faithful, you that don't have this doctrine, you that don't know the depths of Satan, I'm not going to put anything more upon you. So it appears that some did not hold to the teachings of Jezebel, the depths of Satan. See, that's what the depths of Satan is. It's Jezebel. The depths of Satan was women in charge of the congregations. Now you don't hear much preaching along this line, do you? You see all these women on radio and television, just like men are. They have their ministries, they have their goings on and things of that nature, and men bragging about them and everything. When in reality, it's not pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to God. So, well, they're just teaching women. Well, then they ought to get off with women and be alone with women and not go on to public airs. They're to be keepers at home, teachers with keepers at home. You'll probably hear just about, if you go to any so-called Christian radio station, you'll probably hear about as many women, if not more, on their teaching than you would men. And we need to realize that some of these women might be very intelligent. may be very godly, being misled. They may say some mighty good things and teach some mighty good things. But that's not the issue. The issue is what God says. Should they be doing it or not? And more in particularly, not in a congregational setting. There may be some liberty. There may be some liberty. I don't know. With their public ministries. But I do know this, that the more those things have crept into our society, the worse our society has become. There are no women missionaries in the scriptures. That are sent out by congregations to preach the gospel. We either believe God's word or we don't. That's the issue. But there were some at Thyatira had not fallen into it. This Jezebel claimed to know the deep things of God. She claimed that she understood and saw things that others didn't see. But in reality, what she taught was of Satan and not of God. She could see things that others couldn't see. Maybe she had what's called women's intuition. Well, women's intuition is no better than man's intuition, particularly when it is contrary to the Word of God. And for those out there in internet land, the ladies of this congregation know that I'm no woman hater. The ladies of this congregation agree with what I'm teaching. And they're not sitting there with gritted teeth. And I'm not just being mean, not picking on women. I'm trying to, if I have anything disparaging to say, I would say it more to the men who were so spineless as Ahab was to allow the women to take over. That's where the fault lies. You see, God condemned Adam for the fall, not Eve. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Eve, she took of the fruit before Adam did, yes, but she was deceived. Adam wasn't. He knew what he was doing. And most men know what's going on too. They just don't have the backbone to put up with it. Because they know if they do, then their wives are going to leave them. And they don't want their wives to leave them. And so they'll bow down to their wives. It's a sad, sad state of affairs. But God will not bless it. God will not bless it. God will only bless those who obey His word. We read in our scripture reading today and last Lord's Day about the greatness, the bounties, the riches, the glory, the majesty of Solomon and his wisdom and the building of the temple and everything. But he loved many strange women and wound up doing what his wives wanted him to do and caused the kingdom to be divided. The wisest of men was not strong enough to stand up to the women. The strongest of men, Samson, allowed a woman to bring him down. You see, the sin is not on the women. The sin was not on Delilah. The sin was on Samson. Though Delilah sinned, I'm not saying they're not guilty. But what I'm trying to say that the responsibility falls on the men. Those who did not follow her, the Lord promised that He would not put on them anymore. Aren't you glad that God is so wise to know that those who are, that if you're faithful to Him, He won't put on you more than you can bear? What is it? 1 Corinthians 10. That we quote so often from time to time. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God knows what you can do, what you can put up with. You know, this is one thing that parents need to teach their children. You know, children don't know, they can do far more than what they think they can do. You can have children out working and they're so tired and they're just ready to give up and they just can't do anymore and you tell them, no, get in there, keep going. Then after a while, you give them a break, and they go, yahoo! All of a sudden, they're not tired anymore. Parents need to know and teach their children they can do more than they think they can do. God knows how much we can do, and He's not going to put on us more than we can bear. Sometimes we think so, but this is the promise to those in Thyatira who have been faithful. He said, I won't put on you anymore. But He also tells them to do something else. That which you have already, hold fast. Hold fast till I come. Beloved, what God expects us to do above all things is be faithful till He comes or our departure. Hold fast. And we're to maintain this faithfulness unto the end. You know, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26, He tells them to partake of the Lord's Supper till I come. There's going to be a congregation, at least one on earth, that's being faithful to the Lord when He comes. Wouldn't it be nice if it were this one? That he might grant revival and repentance and whatever else is needed. He can do that. I heard of a congregation on one occasion. I don't know whether they're still meeting now or not, but it got down to the point that the only people left was two widow women. They were sisters, or two sisters. I don't know whether they're, I think one of them may have been a widower, and the other wasn't. But anyways, two sisters. And they would go every time they could. Might have been some times when the weather was where they couldn't, and sit on the front porch, on the front steps, and pray every Lord's Day. And finally, God sent them a minister. And it later on built up the congregation. They built a new building, and it was a thriving congregation for quite a while. Congregations may get low sometimes. God can build them up. But he doesn't all. In the New Testament, most of the congregations were so large that they could meet in a home. There were small congregations, household congregations, and things of that nature. But they were still a congregation where two or three are met together in my name. He didn't say, I will be there. He said, where two or three are met together, I am there. I am there. I am there. And so, he said, I won't put anything on you more than that's been put on you. So just hold fast till I come. Don't turn loose. Don't turn loose. Hold on to the doctrines, to the teachings. Well, we have a promise here taken up in verse 26, but I've got quite a bit I want to say on this, so we'll take that up next Lord's Day, Lord willing. Let us pray. Father, help us to be faithful and to hold fast till you come or our departure. And then it will be that you have come for us, though our body may be put in the grave. You will come to us in that way. But sometimes, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our afflictions, in the midst of maybe a bad congregation someone may be in. They don't have any other place to go. They don't know anything else to do. If there's someone out there like that under the sound of my voice, bless them to hold fast. Keep what you've got. Treasure it. Exercise it that it may grow. We do ask our God for your soon return. We pray for your overruling providence that we not be led into temptation. We might be delivered from evil. You may hedge us about and keep us. In Christ we pray. Amen.